Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
So if you want to turn to Galatians 3, if you've got your Bibles, it's going to come up on the screen, but I'm just going to share this verse right at the offset of this message this morning. But we know, don't we, that the Word of God is living and active, don't we? It's living and active. So who believes that this message this morning has the power to impact your life? That you can leave church today, you might have walked in feeling like you need a word from God, feeling like you need some confirmation on something, feeling like you really need to know God's word into your life this morning, and the word of God can give that to you today. Who believes that? Because the word of God is living and active. It was written many, many, many years ago. We know that, don't we? But it still has the power to speak to us today. You can open the word and something in it can speak directly into your life, directly into your circumstances this morning. We believe that, don't we? So I'm going to start with this verse, and it says, Galatians 3:26, it says this, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong," everybody say belong.
Belong.
"Now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." God has promises over your life this morning. Do you believe that? I'm just going to read a couple of other verses from Ephesians, because this really sets the scene from what I want to share this morning. It says in Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And then it says in 17 and 18 of that same chapter, "He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." Some of you this morning might be feeling far away from God. And some of you this morning might be feeling near to God. But he's here to speak to you all this morning. Amen. He's here to speak to you all this morning. Since our very first service in this building, there has been two words on the screen as you walk in the main entrance. Who can tell me what those two words are? Welcome home. Welcome home. The title of my message today is Welcome Home. Welcome home. And not only welcome home, but you belong here. You belong here this morning. If you take a look down the row that you are sitting on, there's many different people that you sat with this morning. Many differences between us, but the wonderful thing about church is that we're all welcome here, aren't we? We're all welcome here, but we all, more than being welcomed, we belong here, don't we? We belong here together, that this is a place that you can find belonging this morning. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever walked into a room and did not quite get the welcome that you were hoping for? Just have a think about that for a moment. Have you ever walked into a room and not quite had the welcome that you were hoping for? Has that ever happened to you? I can recall a time where I was invited to a party, which is always nice, isn't it? It's always nice to get invited to a party. But I was told that this party, this particular party that I'd been invited to, was a fancy dress party. Has anyone ever been to a fancy dress party? You know where this is going, don't you? And I didn't want to go out and, you know, spend a lot of money on a fancy dress costume or anything like that. So I just looked through my wardrobe and I thought, what do I already have? What do I already have that I could convert into a fancy dress costume? And I had a long black ball gown. I don't know why I had a long black ball gown. I must have gone somewhere relevant to need a long black ball gown at some point. But I had this long black ball gown. And I thought, I know, I'll go as Cruella de Vil. I'll go as Cruella de Vil because I can make use of this long black ball gown. So I borrowed like a fur jacket off a friend, and I wore this ball gown, and I even dyed my hair. I dyed my hair. It is commitment. I dyed my hair black and white, to turn up to this fancy dress party. So off we go. You can just picture me wearing that, can't you? I went off to this fancy dress party, knocked on the door. The door opens. What happened? Nobody is in fancy dress. Everybody say, "Ah, we feel for you. We feel for you." I walked into that room. I didn't quite get the welcome I was expecting. I expected my friends to be pleased to see me. I expected to have a really nice evening and it be a really nice time. But instead, I opened the door and they all laughed at me. So that was not the welcome that I was hoping for. Has anyone else had that happen to them? Yes. Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better this morning. Welcome is a word which tells you that those that are already there are pleased to see you. We have a great welcome team here, don't we? Let's give our welcome team a round of applause. They are wonderful. Many times we get complimented, actually, on our welcome team. And many people say that when they come to this church, whether it's the first time or whether you've been here since the very beginning, the very foundation of this church, you walk in and you get a great welcome. You get a great welcome here. The word welcome is a word that is used to show you that we are pleased to see you. We are happy to see you. And hopefully you're sat here today and you know that we are happy to see you. Turn to somebody near you and say, "I'm really happy to see you this morning." Okay, is everyone feeling the love this morning? The words "welcome home" that we put on the screen as you walk into the main entrance to this, our new building, they were chosen for a reason. Firstly, the word "home" is important because home is a place where you can be yourself, isn't it? So when you walk into church, we want you to feel free to be yourself. You can come just as you are. You will be welcomed and accepted as you are. This is a place you can be yourself. This is a place you can relax. This is a place where you can enjoy being with family, isn't it? So we know we have our physical families that we're born into, but this is a spiritual family, isn't it? And you are part of your own family, but this is a much wider family that you are a part of, and they form an important part of your life. Home is a place where you go to learn, you grow, you're nurtured, you're supported. So home is an important word. This is our home. This is your home. And the word "welcome," you know that verse we read at the start is important because it's talking about it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter whether you're male, female, black, white, educated, uneducated, doing well in life or struggling in life, you belong here. You are welcome here. There is a place for you here. You know, when I was growing up, I was actually quite a shy person. I don't know if you'll believe me when I say that, because people always say that I seem quite confident, but I was actually quite shy growing up. I was a little bit of a loner growing up. Everybody say, "Aw." I was a bit of a loner growing up. I know, sob story coming out. But I was quite a lonely person. I struggled at school because I struggled to fit in. When I went to school, there were kind of two groups of people. There were what was called the grebs. I don't know if that's a term that we use now. Maybe that's died a bit. But there was a group of people, and that's what they were called. And they listened to grungy, like rock-type music, okay? So this was a group over here. And then opposite to that, there was a group of people who listened to pop music. Anyone into pop music in the house today? And basically, if you didn't fit with either one of those groups, You were nowhere in school. You had no friends. You were basically out on a limb. You were on your own. And that was me, because I just kind of didn't fit into either of those categories. So I went through school, you know, just feeling quite alone, feeling quite rejected, feeling like I didn't belong, feeling like I didn't fit in. Everybody say, "Oh." It's a sad time. It's a sad time. But you know what was really important, what was wonderful in those years is that my younger brother, he had a few friends and they were actually coming along to the Friday night youth group that we run here at church. many years ago, and I actually just tagged along a little bit because I was a bit shy. I didn't have my own friends, so I tagged along a bit with my brother. And I just remember walking in and knowing that I was welcome, and knowing actually that the environments that I'd been in before where I knew I didn't belong, I walked in there and I didn't sense that whatsoever. I knew that this was a place where I could belong, that this was a place where I was going to be welcomed and that I could just be myself and people would love me and accept me for who I am. And that's the power of church, isn't it? That's the power of church, that it's a place where you are not only welcome, but it's a place where you can belong, where you can just come as you are and you know that you are welcomed and you know that you belong and that you fit in. One definition of belonging is a sense of fitting in or a sense of feeling like you are an important member of a group. A close family gives each of its members a strong sense of belonging. It is really important to us that you feel like you belong here, that this is a place where you belong. And we're very different, aren't we? We are very different. Even in my own household, you know, there's myself and my husband. We have four children together. You know, there's six of us in our household. And even in that one household, there are many, many differences between us. Many differences in personality, in taste, in style, in all sorts of things. But we all belong. There is a place there for each of us, which is important, isn't it? I just want to share a picture with you this morning. If it can come up on the screen, if it can come up. Look at those beautiful faces. Wow, that is really big up there, isn't it? So this is our life group. This is mine and Michael's life group. And we run one of the life groups that you will have heard about in the life of the church. And isn't this a beautiful bunch of people? It is. I'm really sorry if you're in my life group and I didn't tell you that was going to... Because I'd tell you why. If I'd have asked you, you probably would have said, don't do that. But I wanted to put this picture up here this morning. Because to me, when I look at this picture, it is a beautiful image of how there can be in one room a vast difference in many ways, in age, in culture, in skin colour, in jobs, in professions, in the place in life that we find ourselves. However, this is a group and we all belong. You know, we have a great time together when we come together and when we do life group together. You know, we have a good time together and we all belong. We all belong. You know, there's a great example. You can take that picture down now because some people will not be happy with me for putting that over there. There's a great example in the Bible, and a lot of you would have read this verse, but basically in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the church being a body, and it talks about how the many, many parts of the body come together to form the whole. And the Bible kind of illustrates that, you know, sometimes we can place more importance on some parts of the body than others, and some parts of the body can seem more glamorous than others, and how sometimes we can, you know, feel like we want to be something else and feel like, you know, I don't want to be this part of the body, I want to be something else because that just seems better to me, that seems like a better place to be, a better position to be in life. But the Bible teaches us an important lesson that it doesn't matter what part of the body you are because you're still part of the body. Amen. Whether you find yourself being an elbow, or you find yourself being the head, or you find yourself being the muscles, that definitely is not me this morning. But whatever part of this house you find yourself in, you are a part of it. You are a part of it. And together we form the whole, don't we? We are the body of Christ together. You know, maybe you feel like the stinky feet of the body. Has anyone ever felt like that? Don't point anybody out. But you are a part of the body. And, you know, it's important to know that we need everybody, don't we? We need all parts of the body to be able to work and to be able to function. And so that was the first thing I wanted to say. But I just want to bring out three points from the Bible that will just illustrate this whole sense of belonging and being welcomed. And what I want to get across today is that it doesn't matter what our differences are. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are as a person, how you've turned up to church this morning, whether you're feeling on top of the world, whether you're feeling, you know, down in the dumps, whether life is going well for you, whether life is not going well for you at the moment, whatever your age, whether you are male, female, whatever your circumstance this morning, that you are welcome here and you are welcome with God and there is a place in God for you, amen? Can we give God some praise for that this morning? Okay, and so my first point this morning, and bear with me because I will explain it, is this. If you are down and out, you are welcome here. If you are down and out, you are welcome here. For those of you that have got Bibles, if you can turn to Luke 15, I am going to read it. But if you've got a Bible and you want to follow, you can turn to Luke 15. And we're going to read the story of the prodigal son. Now, I know this is a familiar story to many of you this morning, but I want to draw out a few points from it that will hopefully be relevant to us. So Luke 15, verse 12. Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." And so the party began. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house and asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." What a great story that is this morning that we find in the Bible, and much to learn from that story. But my first point today is this: if you are down and out, you are welcome here. You see, we see two characters in this story, don't we? Two main characters. We see these two brothers. And I think it's fair to say that the brother that the story focuses on the most, this younger brother who goes out and squanders this wealth, it's fair to say that we can describe him as being down and out this morning. Would you agree? That he found himself in a situation that was less than desirable, that was far removed from the comfort and stability that he had in the family home whilst he was living with his father and with his brother. What's interesting as well is that in asking for his share of the inheritance, it was like saying to his dad, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. Because normally the inheritance would have come to him at the point of his father's death. So to go to his father and to say, I want my share of your inheritance, it was very insulting. It was against the culture of the time. But unusually, the father agrees, and this younger son goes off to spend his inheritance. And what's interesting to note is that the way that inheritance would have been split in those days was that the elder brother would have had 2/3, and the younger brother would have had 1/3 of the inheritance. So even for that third, he wanted it so badly so that he could go off and do whatever he wanted with that money. The Bible says he doesn't spend it wisely. In fact, the Bible says he squandered it in wild living. I wonder if any of us can relate to that this morning, that we've spent time in our lives and we've squandered aspects of our life, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's resources, whether it's our energy, what we put ourselves into. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've squandered something? It's okay, you don't have to put your hands up this morning. You don't have to admit to that. But I wonder whether you can relate to that this morning, whether there's been aspects of your life that you maybe haven't used wisely. You see, this guy, this younger brother, he ended up being in a situation that was the lowest of the low, the lowest of the low for a Jewish man to be in a situation where he's not only in contact with pigs, but he's feeding the pigs and even potentially eating some of that pig food himself. You see, for a Jewish man, that was something that was considered unclean. It was considered something that would cause him to be defiled and that would separate him from God. So for him to be in that situation was a terrible situation, a humiliating situation. When I use the phrase down and out, this is a bit of a definition that I found when I Googled what it meant. It said this: to be without money, to be without a job, to be without a place to live. It also said this: to be destitute, to be knocked down and unable to continue fighting. Does anyone relate to that this morning? You've had a time in your life where you've felt knocked down and unable to keep fighting. It says this: to be needy, in want, to be hard up, or to be deprived, to be disadvantaged or distressed. Maybe we can relate to some of these things this morning. But what I want to show us from this story is that, you know, this younger brother found himself in that category, found himself as someone that felt down and out, someone that was distressed, someone that was deprived, somebody that had lost everything, didn't have anything of any worth anymore in his life. Yet when we read on in the story, we see something beautiful that happens. You see, what happened was this younger son made an assumption that because of his down and out status, that he was no longer worthy. I wonder if anyone can relate to that this morning, that when you're in a situation in life where you feel that you're disadvantaged, that you're distressed, that you're knocked down and you're struggling to get back up again, sometimes when that is the place that we find ourselves, we can actually feel that that affects our sense of worth and our status. You see, he used these words. He said, I am no longer worthy. He said, I am no longer worthy. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're someone that feels that you're no longer worthy, that the situation that you have found yourself in and the distress that you find yourself in has affected your sense of self-worth. The younger son also made another assumption that because of his down and out status that he would lose his sonship. See, he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He didn't even feel worthy to be part of the family anymore. But this is what we see. And it's a beautiful, Jesus told this story because it's a beautiful picture of God's love towards those who feel down and out. This is what the father did. He threw his arms around him. When he threw his arms around him, he was reaffirming his love for him. He was reaffirming his love for him. The Bible says the word the father used was quick. When they saw the son, he said, quick. It wasn't a delayed response. It wasn't anything he had to think about. It wasn't anything he had to consider. Do I want to reach out to this son? It was a quick response. He said, bring the best robe and put it on him. What that meant when he did that was that he was clothing him with honor. He was restoring his honor to him. He was restoring his dignity to him. That he had lost those things when he found himself distressed and in a down and out position. So when the father said, put the robe on him, he was clothing him with honor and he was clothing him with dignity. He said, put a ring on his finger. That was restoring his sonship status to him. By wearing the ring on his finger, it meant you are a part of this family. You are restored as part of this family. When he said, let's kill the fattened calf, he was providing for him. He was showing him that he was provided for. When he said, let's have a feast and celebrate, he was celebrating him. You know, sometimes when you're struggling in life, it's a powerful thing to know that you are celebrated, that you are valued, that you are celebrated. And that's something I want everybody to know this morning. I hope that restores your faith this morning, that if you're someone that identifies with the position of this younger brother in the story, that you feel down and destitute, that you know that you have a father who reaffirms his love for you, is not delayed in his response to you, who clothes you with honor and dignity, who restores your sonship or your daughtership to him. You're provided for. And not only that, but you are celebrated. That you are celebrated. What's even more amazing is that the father began this beautiful response. The Bible says, while his son was still a long way off. You might even be sat here and you think, I don't even know why I'm here today. I'm so far away from God. So far away from God. But this story says, while he was still a long way off, while he was still a long way off, the father had this response for him. The father had this response for him. Let's give God some praise for that this morning. It says in Psalm 9, God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never, never perish. Amen? It's a beautiful picture of what God does in restoring people who find themselves feeling down and out. So let's move on to the next point this morning, if we can have that on the screen. And again, I'll explain what I mean. My next point is this. If you are up and coming, you are welcome here. You see, there's another character in this story that gets a lot less coverage, doesn't it? See, most of the story focuses on this younger son, but this elder brother, we need to explore what that means as well and what we can learn from his character in this story as well. You see, if we could describe the younger brother as being down and out, we could describe the elder brother as being up and coming. He was not disrespectful and rebellious as the younger one was. He didn't insult his father. He didn't ask for this inheritance. In fact, the Bible paints a picture of him being someone who was quite hardworking. The Bible says he was working in the field when the younger brother returned. The father even talked about him in his own words and said, you know, you've always obeyed, you've always worked hard, you've always been here with me. So we know he was hardworking. We know as the older son that he had the greatest inheritance of the family estate, which meant that he was somebody that was set up for life. He was somebody that had, you know, a stability, he had success, he had finance. He had everything that he needed to live a good and stable life. We can look at the meaning of up and coming as this, someone who is likely to achieve success, someone who's promising, someone who's ambitious, somebody who's showing signs of advancement. You see, the picture we see of this older brother in the Bible is someone who wasn't destitute or deprived or disadvantaged, but somebody that had, materially speaking, everything that they needed, somebody who was set up for success in life. But what I love about this story is that we see when we read the story that this elder brother, despite the success, despite being set up for success in his life, despite having everything, materially speaking, that he needed, it's still very clear when we read the story that he needed to know the father's love as well. That he needed to know the father's love as well. He needed to know that he was welcomed. and he needed to know that he was included. You know, when the younger brother came back, it says this, the elder brother became angry and refused to go in. He became angry and refused to go in. You know, sometimes even despite our success in life, we can actually have that response, that we can look around and see what God's doing in the lives of other people. You know, maybe people you know that are struggling, that are having a difficult time in life. And sometimes even as a successful person, you can look at that and think, well, God's doing something in their life. What is God doing in my life? And sometimes we can have this angry response that this elder brother had. It said he refused to go in. I wonder if sometimes any of us have ever skipped church or decided to stay home or, you know, not turned up because we have thought that God's doing something in everybody else's life, but he's not doing anything in our own life. You see, sometimes if you can identify with this category of as being up and coming, as having stability, as having relative success in your life, you can maybe even feel like you're somehow less worthy of the love and value of God. And I think that's how this elder brother was feeling, that he was angry. When he saw the way that his younger brother was treated, he felt angry. He felt, well, why does he get this treatment? Why is the fattened calf killed for him? What is being done for me? I've been faithful, I've served. And you can see this picture of him feeling overlooked and him feeling that God wasn't coming through for him, that his father wasn't coming through for him. You know, you might not have a story to tell of deprivation, of disadvantage, of all of that stuff. You know, I'm sure a lot of us in this room can identify that you might not feel that your testimony is as good as anybody else's. Can anyone identify with that? That if you're someone that doesn't have a dramatic testimony to tell, for example, that you might feel you don't have a story to tell. But your need for God is just as great, isn't it, this morning? If you are someone that isn't struggling with your self-worth or isn't struggling with disadvantage or distress, you need God just as much this morning. And so let's see what the father responded to this elder brother. It said that his father went out and pleaded with him. That's important to note because as much as we can identify in this story that the father wanted to love and show his compassion for this younger destitute son, we also see that he wanted to show his love and his compassion for the elder son as well, who had stability. That's important to know. The father was showing that he wanted him to be a part of everything that was going on as well. When he went out to him, he pleaded with him, come and be a part of this. Come and be a part of this. He didn't want him to be out on his own. He welcomed him and included him. The father's love for him was not less because of the love he had for this destitute brother, for the brother who had lost everything. It says in verse 31, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. What the father was saying was that he reaffirmed his status as well. He was reaffirming his sonship as well. He reaffirmed his care and his provision for him. So if you're someone that can identify with that this morning, that you maybe heard the first point, but you thought, well, I don't find myself in a difficult situation or a disadvantaged situation this morning, so I can't relate to that. Maybe you can relate to this second point of, yeah, I've got relative stability in my life, but I know I need God, and I know I still need God to do something great in my life, because your need for God is just as great, is just as great. It says this in Acts 10:34. God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And that's a great verse because it shows us that no matter what our background is, no matter where we come from, that God is still there for you. He doesn't show favoritism, but he wants to welcome you, all types of people. In the last 5 minutes we've got together, I just want to share one last point. And that is this, if you are down and out and up and coming, you are welcome here. See, maybe you didn't relate to my first point, and maybe you didn't relate to my second point, because maybe you're someone that finds yourself kind of in between the two. I wonder if that can resonate with anybody this morning, that you're maybe not a down and out kind of person, you're maybe not an up and coming person, because maybe it depends for you on how you feel when you get out of bed in the morning. Maybe some days you get out of bed and you feel great and you feel like you're doing well in life. Maybe other days you get out of bed in the morning and you feel down and out, you feel rubbish, you feel low, you feel down. You see, maybe you have some days where you're on it and you're reading your Bible and you're pressing into God, and then maybe a few days pass by and you forget to even pick up your Bible. Maybe you're someone who has some determination and goes for it and wants to be courageous and seize opportunities, and then maybe a few days later you find yourself giving up. Maybe you have times where you're really close to God and you pray and you seek God's face, and then maybe you have times where you don't speak to God at all, maybe for even a whole week. I've brought this with me this morning because that's a picture. There you go, I did it. Are you impressed? I bought this yo-yo today because it's a picture of how we can be sometimes in our walk with God. I was trying to learn some tricks for you this morning, but it wasn't happening. I need to do a bit more practicing. But this yo-yo represents, I think, for some of us, how we can be in our walk with God, that sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down, and sometimes we're on it and we're really seeking God, and then sometimes we lose our determination, we give up. Sometimes we find ourselves being a bit up and down in life. And time won't permit to go into it too much, but I want you to know that there's examples in the Bible that would fit exactly how you're feeling. The character of Peter in the Bible, we see some great examples of where he was really on it. He was really doing well in life, that he was recognizing the hand of God in his life, that he was successful, that he was walking closely to God. We see times where, you know, he walked on water. What an amazing thing that was, you know, that he walked on water. We see another time where Jesus says to him, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That was an amazing moment because he was recognizing something that a lot of people around him weren't recognizing. We also see him making great declarations of faith where he says things like this, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." We see moments where he was steadfast in his faith, where he was passionate in his faith. And then we see other times where he denied Jesus. He denied him 3 times. We see times where he let God down. There was a time where he even spoke against Jesus going to the cross because he didn't understand what it was all about, and Jesus had to rebuke him and say, "No, this is the cup that I need to drink." You see, the character of Peter in the Bible is a great study. If you're someone that feels like you're up and down, a bit like this yo-yo, you're up and down in your faith, that Peter is a great character to study in the Bible. Because what happens towards the end of the verses we read on Bible, we see that actually he repented. He repented of the times where he wasn't where he should have been with God. And God actually went on to use him in an amazing way. It says he preached the word and 3,000 people became Christians. What an amazing example that is, of someone who is up and down, yet God still used them. It says this, if you find yourself in that situation this morning, it says this in Lamentations 3:22-23. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." If you find yourself feeling a bit up and down this morning, just know this, that the steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies for you never come to an end. You might be thinking, "I've been up and down so many times. I don't know if I can pull this back now. I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know, you know, what's the point? Because if I put effort in and get on track with God, I know I'm just then going to go downhill again." But it says in the Word of God that his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning over your life. So never give up. Never give up. Never feel like because you've been an up and down person in your faith or in your walk from God, never give up. Because you are welcome here and God welcomes you, and you belong here. You belong here. There is belonging to be had here. You know, when I was on Amazon ordering a yo-yo, because I didn't own a yo-yo before, so I've now got a yo-yo and I better make some use of it. But when I was Googling yo-yos, I discovered this. that there are two types of yo-yo. I didn't know that. There are two types of yo-yo. There's a yo-yo that is called a responsive yo-yo, and there's a yo-yo that is called an unresponsive yo-yo. Does anyone know the difference? No. Okay, going to learn something about yo-yos today. You didn't know you were going to get that in church. A responsive yo-yo is one where you can send it down and give it a slight tug and it'll come back up again. So you can send it down, slight tug, and it'll come back up again, just like that. A non-responsive yo-yo, you send it down and it stays down. You have to learn to make it to respond. You have to learn the skill of getting it to respond. And it got me thinking that, you know, sometimes if we find ourselves being a bit up and down, a bit wavering in our faith, that there's a difference between being a responsive yo-yo and an unresponsive yo-yo. If you find yourself in that situation this morning, that we need to be people that are responsive to God, don't we? That when the Father gives that slight tug, says, come on, come back to me, let's get you back on track, let's get you back to where you need to be, that you are someone that responds to that tug of the Father that says, come on, let's get you back on track. Let's get you back on track. Because if we're unresponsive to that, we're going to stay down here. But if we're responsive to that pull of the Father, of the Father's leading, then He will get us back on track to where we need to be. And so I'm going to close. But just to sum up this morning that, you know, like we've seen in the verses that we've read, and that amazing verse that we started with, that there's no Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus and you belong in Christ. You see, what unites us all this morning is that we're all on a journey of faith, aren't we? We're all on a journey of faith. Whether you're not a Christian even and you've walked in just to check us out this morning and to see what we're all about, that's fine, because we're still all on a journey of faith together. Some are further along that journey than others. Some are wavering in that journey more than others. Some of us are feeling like we're doing well. Some of us are feeling down and out. And some of us feel like we're everything in between. But you need to know that whatever category you find yourself in this morning, whatever category you find yourself in this morning, that you are welcome here. Amen? That you are welcome here. That you belong here. That this is a family. That this is a place where you can feel free to be yourself. You can feel free to engage with God, to engage with people, to be on that journey of faith. It doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, whether you're male, female, black, white, educated, uneducated, whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, that you are welcome here and you belong here. There is a place for you here. And I'm just going to end on one scripture. And it says this, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. You see, God's love is great enough and wide enough to cover the vast differences that exist between us. And whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, know that you are loved, know that you are valued, and know that there is a place for you here, and there is a place for you in God. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.